The following talk, entitled Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Feelings, was presented on the 28th of January 2024 by Reverend Julian Harvey.
So today's sort of talk or discussion is going to be a bit of a different one for Unity normally, because I'm going to go through some stuff and talk about some stuff. And originally, if you read, as I said, if you read Thursday night's email, you would have seen in that Thursday night's email that I went through a litany of things that are going on in my life. And Rhonda and I, just before the service this morning, she and I were talking, and she was saying to me, you know, you're being sort of, things are happening on all sorts of fronts going on. So, and she's quite right. So just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from, the owners of my property are thinking about selling the property, and they've asked me to finish my rental agreement with them on the 8th of March, of which time they would not only like me to go to a month-to-month arrangement with them, but also they'd like to put the rent up by $150 a week. So they suddenly want me to be on very tender situation. And, you know, as you know, I do a lot of stuff for Unity, and having somewhere permanent to live is, or having somewhere where I'm, you know, I know that I don't have to move out in a month is really important. And to be honest with you, the way it was presented to me was really inappropriate. And I wasn't really comfortable with the way it was done. So I've made the decision that I will be out by the 8th of March. No ifs, buts, ands, or maybes, and I'll come back to that in a minute. The second thing that was going on is that I've been doing a specific job and a specific style of job at work. And it's a really important job because it's about training frontline staff management. So the team leaders who are in charge of leading the people who are doing the work that we're doing have had very little training, very little support in how to be leaders and that process. And some of you may or may not remember, but the last year I was involved with this, and we created some forums. So we created two-day forums. And then suddenly, because of a whole bunch of reasons, it all got halted and we got put on hold. We've been brought back in, but instead of building a two-day forum process, what we're building is we're actually building a three-month pathway for all team leaders. And I think it's a better thing. I think I'm actually really encouraged and really excited about it. It's also teaching me some skills that I've kind of had in the background, but I haven't really had time or hadn't had the capacity to be able to use them in a real world situation. So, Gardy, we've got Noel and Margaret coming in. Can you grab a couple of chairs for them? Thank you. So I'm learning a whole bunch of stuff that's very aimed at adult learning. And I'm also learning how to use a very specific e-learning management program called Articulate 360, which is a computer-based program where if you've ever done any online training of any sort and they lead you through the training, it allows you to build these, and I'm learning how to build these things. So I'm really excited about the work I'm doing and I really like it. However, they work on what's known as an expression of interest process in federal government, and my expression of interest finishes on the 3rd of March. So on the 3rd of March, I end up with technically, if I don't do anything, I end up with, on the 3rd of March, I end up with no job or going back into my old job, which is fine, I'm happy to go back into the old role that I was doing because I'm a permanent employee, so they can't get rid of me, but I'll go back into the old role. And then 5 days later, I have to be out of the house I'm currently living in. So I have to go through a process of reapplying for my job. Then, as many of you know, and I've had some loving responses about this because I really do kick myself in the bum for this one, but I broke the UNS website completely, and I've been trying to fix it and get it working. But I've actually took the plunge to say, because there were some issues with the old one, which is why I was trying to fix it, and that's when I broke it. But I'm trying to make it a vastly more interactive and a vastly better website that people can actually interact with each other, and students can talk to each other about assignments, they can talk to each other about classes, they can do all sorts of interaction stuff. But it's not quite working as well as I had hoped, and I've got some friends helping me out with that. So I've got that going on. And then, as you all know, and I've got to be really careful because his grandmother's online at the moment. I don't want her to freak out too much. It's all good, Mum. But Sam's situation in Canada has deteriorated, and he's having to move house himself, and it's not under good circumstances. So, you know, I'm still having to financially help Sam out a little bit here and there. Definitely happening tomorrow. Tomorrow, our time, which is his Sunday because he's in Canada, he's moving to a new place that he says is going to be so much better and so much. And also across the road is a whole shopping mall. So hopefully he'll get himself a job. So I'm happy about the move. I'm happy about the situation. Just a bit sad that, you know, it didn't happen as quickly for him over there as he was hoping. So I've got that going on. What else have I got going on? So obviously I'm moving house, and obviously my 25-year-old, you know, son is in Canada. So guess who's doing all the packing? Some dodgy removalist bloke called Julian is doing the packing, and I'm almost done. I'm down to the point stage where I've got one big plate, two small plates, a glass, mug for coffee, the plunger, two forks, two knives. So I'm getting to that point stage. In the middle of all of that, now, this was not a quick decision. I've been thinking about trading my HRV, my old Honda, my lovely Honda, in on a new car for a variety of reasons. My ex-wife was also looking at trying to see if she could do something with her car. So over the Christmas break, she said, "Hey, can you come to Honda with me? I want to have a look at the new cars there." And I said, "Yeah, sure, I'll come with you and do that." Now, I've been thinking about selling my car for probably 4 or 5 months, but I'm slow on the uptake as to the universe telling me I need to do things in a right time and the right way. And so anyway, when this opportunity came up, she said, "Oh, let's go and have a look." I said, "Yeah, okay, we'll go and have a look." And we went and looked at it, and it was really interesting because I have a Honda and I love Hondas and I think they're a good car. But the new CRV, which was the model I was thinking of going, I wanted to go up to a bigger, more comfortable car. I found that the HRV I had was really hard on my back, and it's not a car that I would want to do a long distance trip in. It's a nice shopping car around town. It does great. It's fast. It's zippy. It does all that stuff. The seats do go down, so you can fit a reasonable amount. But it had low profile tires and it had sport suspension, and it was like every time we went over a bump. So I wanted something a bit more comfortable to take me into my old age, to help me with life. And so I thought, I'll look at the new CRV because I like the Hondas. I literally walked up to the CRV with not driving it, not looking at it, and went, "No." I went, "No." They've changed the shape. It's longer, it's bigger, it's wider. And yes, it's probably a nicer car. But when I looked at it, I thought, and for those of you online who don't know my actual height, I'm not tall, I'm 5'9", and I couldn't see over the bonnet. And that was disconcerting for me because of the way I drive. I like to have, you know, I like to see everything going on. I don't drive blindly. You know, you see these kids driving around in their hotted up cars and they're almost laying backwards in the car and you can barely see their head above the windscreen. I don't do that. I like to see where I'm going, so I make sure I don't hit anything or anyone. And I looked at it and I said, "Oh, really?" And the young lady who was helping Terry, my ex-wife, out with her car said, "Oh, have you ever driven a Forester, a Subaru?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Go and have a look at the Subaru." So we went over and had a look at the Subaru because they're in the same company. They're all owned by the same people in Brisbane anyway, they are. When I went over there and I saw the guy Chris there, and he said, "Oh, have you ever driven a Subaru?" And I said, "No." He said, "Once you go to a Subaru, you won't go back." And I'm like, yeah, right. What a load of, that's just nice sales job. Love your sales work, all that sort of stuff. Hopped in the car, 2 minutes into the drive. Geez, I'm driving this forever. This is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant to drive. So needless to say, so in the middle of everything that's going on, and I knew all of the stuff that I'm currently talked about, the previous stuff I talked about, I kind of knew all of this coming into Christmas. The other thing that I forgot to mention is that the Christmas was kind of weird this year because we had my sister and brother-in-law lost his father 2 weeks before Christmas. So it was a bit of a subdued Christmas for us. And then I was supposed to have Christmas with my grandson and that side of the family. And of course, they all copped the COVID. They copped COVID. So I didn't do Christmas till the Monday after or just before going back to work with them. So I had all that going on. I had all that sort of stuff going on. And then I bought this car. And I bought the car. And when I finally picked the car up and I took it for a drive, I picked it up on a work day and I went back to work. And as I'm driving it back to work, I had the immediate thought that I'd done the right thing. Now, I don't know about you when you buy a car, but do we all know about buyer's remorse? We all know what buyer's remorse is. I do that with wet marriages. Or they do it with me with marriages, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, I normally get, and what was really interesting is I got home and I told Sam, I rang Sam, and I said to Sam, "Hey, I've bought a new car and this is what I've bought." And he said, "Dad, I'm so glad you bought a new car." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Don't you remember?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "It was about a week after you'd bought the new car." And he said, "You already had buyer's remorse after buying the HRV." And he said, "And you put up with it for 4.5 years, knowing that it wasn't really good for you and it didn't really help you." And he said, "I'm really glad you bought a new car." And I said, "Great. Get a job so that I don't have to pay you, so that I can pay for the car." It's what fathers do, isn't it? Bitch and moan about them getting jobs. So in all of that and everything that was going on, I bought this car. And literally driving from the car yard to my office, I thought, God, this is a lovely car. This is a really lovely car to drive. It's got all the mod cons that I want because I'm a geek. And it's just lovely to drive. It's smooth. It travels really well. It does things that I wasn't expecting it to do, which was really, really wonderful. And one, you know, it has all the mo when I say it has all the mod cons, it literally tells me when I'm going out of a lane. It tells me when I'm not looking at the road properly. It comes up and says, "Oi, stay alert, look at the road." I was driving today and I had it on cruise control coming through the tunnels. And when I go through tunnels on the cruise control, I just hold on with one hand. It told me off. It said, "Hey, two hands," and it showed me 10 and 2. It's a great car. Unbelievable. It does all sorts of weird and wonderful things. But it also does things that are really important for me, like, for argument's sake, the connection to my mobile phone and the phone system in it is really clear. It's really easy to understand. I don't have problems hearing people and stuff, which is really good. So it's got all of that going on. So what's that got to do with change of thoughts and change of feelings? So the big next big thing that's happening to me, obviously, is I need to find somewhere to live. I need to find some form of accommodation where I can afford to pay for it. And of course, as we know in Brisbane, the rents have gone through the roof all over the place. And we know that that real estate agents and owners are being very picky about who they pick to go and live with, in their property and stuff. And I'm a really good option because I have two really long-term rental histories, so I don't have a problem with that. But finding somewhere where it re I realize that I'm not going to be able to live as close to work as I currently live. So at the moment, I live 8 minutes from home from work. So it takes me 8 minutes to get to work, park, and get into the office. I bought a new car. So commuting for me is going to be fun. So it suddenly opens up the door for me to go, hang on a second, I don't necessarily need to look because rental properties in where I'm currently living are anywhere between $600 and $1,200 a week for a three or a four bedroom property. Now, I don't need a three or four bedroom property, but there has been this thought pattern, and I will come back to this, there has been this thought pattern, but what happens if Sam needs to come home? What happens then? Do I need a bigger place? And so I've been, that in the back of my mind has been there. Trust me, it's not there anymore. Well, so understanding that I need to change my thoughts about where I'm living and change my thoughts about where I'm wanting to be and changing those aspects of that side of myself. So the other day I was driving somewhere and I had, not only did I have the thought about it's really enjoyable driving this car, but I had this overwhelming feeling of just joy, of just, this is really nice. This is what I deserve. This is really where a space where I feel really comfortable. Like the song says, I feel loved, I feel held, I felt all of that driving this car, which, you know, was quite interesting. And then since that event, I've had various others where I've gone, and I went and visited, I had to go and drop something off at the ex-wife's yesterday because I'm giving them a bunch of my stuff. I'm getting rid of stuff. I'm decluttering my life, folks, like drastically. And there was some stuff that they could use. So I was giving that and I went down there. And I remember driving down to her place well before Christmas, and the road's full of potholes and it's you know, bumpy and it's all that sort of stuff. And I was in the HRV. And then I drove down there yesterday and I'm thinking, oh, it's like floating. I could feel the bumps. I could feel that they were there, but I could also feel that the car held me smoothly and safely, and it was comfortable. And so I had that sense of feeling held, feeling safe, and that I was in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. So it was that sort of feeling. So it's really important to understand that not only do we need to change our thoughts, but we also need to change some of our feelings about things. And what we're actually talking about is what's known as the law of expression. Now, we talk a lot in Unity about metaphysics, and we talk a lot about using the Bible metaphysically. And this week in Metaphysics 3, I've been teaching students, people attending, about understanding how important the word is in understanding how we create. So the creation process is all about the words we use. So in John 1, verses 1 through to 3, we may or may not remember, this is the first part of that, that, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. Now, metaphysically, we all know what that means, and I'll come back to that. But what does that actually mean, and how does the law of expression actually work? What is that process that we use when we think about our words and we think about our feelings? How does that work with the law of expression? So who knows what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the law of expression? Let's see, yeah, good, yeah, 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 okay. Been a while since some of us have visited the law of expression, probably. We often talk about the law of mind action. So as you think, you manifest, and that's basically the law of expression. But Paul Hasselbeck, our metaphysical guru, teaches it the following way. And I'm going to go through what I taught on Tuesday night, and I taught with a lot of fun with just Ruth and I yesterday. Ruth Triggs and I yesterday had a great morning talking about it. She said, oh, this will be a really quick one because it's only me. 2 hours later, we were still talking. It was brilliant. It was a great morning, a wonderful morning. So if we take the premise that God is mind idea, okay, it's a very standard Unity understanding that mind idea, or that capital M mind, is what some people would terminate, the terminology we would use is God. And what the law of expression is about is it's about going from that abstract, from an abstract concept through a process to concrete. So how do we manifest from that abstract section down into that manifestation of the concrete process. Okay. In the middle of that, this is where we limit and decide what's going on. So, coming back to metaphysics, if we understand the premise that divine mind is that infinite field of potential and possibility where all ideas are possible, everything's possible in that realm. Doesn't matter what it is, it's all possible. However, we as the conduit between the absolute or the abstract area and the reality of what's in front of us and how we manifest stuff, we have to limit and we have to define, we have to focus our ideas, we have to go through a forming process, and we also have to refine it. And it is an inner journey that we have to go through. So when I'm talking about when I was thinking about a car, instead of thinking about all the negative things that were going on in the HRV that were the things that were niggly that I didn't really like, I thought about, okay, so that didn't work in the HRV. I would like it to be this. I would like it to be fluid. I'd like it to work well. I'd like it to be comfortable. I'd like it. And I started thinking about the process of reforming and redesigning in my mind what sort of vehicle I wanted to drive. Now I'm doing the same with my unit, the property that I want to go and live in. I've looked at the things that are going on in my unit, the things I don't like going on in my unit. But instead of focusing on that, what I'm focusing on is what do I want? Do I want something simpler? Do I want something that's easier access? Do I want something that's newer? Do I want something, you know? And I'm starting to think about this and about that process and going through that formation of ideas. And that was okay. I was doing okay with that. And I felt that was, you know, where I was coming from. But then when I had the experience of that overwhelming feeling of being in joy driving my car, I suddenly realized I was missing a point of where I want to live. And I've started in the last, and it really has only been a week or so that I've started doing this, I've started thinking about how do I want to feel in my new environment? What sort of feelings do I want to have? Do I want to have where I'm happy to come home, where it's nice and easy, I can do the work I need to do, I can enjoy the things I want to do? And it's really funny, I've never invited anybody over to visit me at my current place because I don't feel that it's a nice place to come and visit. It's a great place to go and live, but it's not an area where I would say to someone, hey, why don't you come over for a coffee and we can talk? And there's nowhere in my current place to sit and have a conversation. The lounge room is the television room. Upstairs is the three bedrooms. And there's only aircon in the lounge room and aircon in the master bedroom. So I'm not going to invite you over and say, hey, guardian kids, come on over and sit in the bedroom. It's not going to happen. So it's about, you know, having a place where there might be a space where I could actually have people come over and have cups of coffee and socialize or do whatever that does. But also understanding about the feeling about how I want to feel in my space. And so I've stopped thinking about, you know, I've got to, you know, when you do a real estate search, you do have to put in the parameters of what you want. So you've got to put in, I want to spend this amount of money and I want this number of bedrooms. But other than that, I'm really opening myself up to where am I being led to move to based on the fact that I want to feel like the place is a really nice place to be and feel comfortable in that space. Because the other side of the coin with the current places is that it was really set up in a really quick way because of some situations, and it was designed really to help Sam get on with his life. It was really much about, or more about Sam's life than about what do I want. So now I'm changing that. So if we do that inner experience work and we do the feeling stuff as well as the sort of the mind, you know, the mind stuff, then that's where the outer manifestation happens within that framework. So, and like I say, the thing that's really important to understand about this is, yes, we can change our thoughts about things, but we also need to be working on the feeling state. Ruth and I talked very much about the fact that thoughts and feelings aren't separate and can't be separate. It's one of those things where either a thought creates a feeling or a feeling creates a thought, or in those instances where we have a thought where we can't identify or can't see what's going on as far as feelings are concerned, the reality of it is chances are it's a feeling from our subconscious. But I guarantee you, based on science, based on documented scientific study, there is no difference really between thoughts and feelings. There's very little space between them. They work very much in conjunction with each other. So again, coming into sort of more metaphysical language, the infinite potential that we have, so that infinite potential is and possibility is absolutely everywhere present. And so the example that I used in the training is very much about understanding. If I asked you all a question now of, I want you to think of a table, what sort of tables jumped into your mind? Shout them out. Right, what else? Hey, round table, wooden table, kitchen table, Margaret, my cooking. Hey, six-sided table. Hey, oh, James, our young fellow here is wanting a dinosaur table. Noel, a what? A mathematical. Oh, mathematical table. Yeah, Noel's being Noel. He says a mathematical table. That's fine. That's another table. That makes sense. Hey? A square table that can sit eight people. The more the merrier, you reckon. Is that right, Lorraine? Lovely. So there's that infinite field of potential and possibility happening. We all thought of different tables. Okay? And so when we think of that, the idea of tables if we just open our minds up to how many tables and types of tables and styles of tables are there in the world, then suddenly mind blown. There's billions, millions of them, millions and millions of them. There's all sorts of stuff. When I think of a table, I think of an office table, a table for work. So there's all sorts of tables. And then within those tables, there's all sorts of uses for those tables. We have tables here. We've got tables here that are being used for our coffee and our morning tea, but then they're also our welcome desk. Different functions. Same word, table. So then what we do is we get that idea that we want a table. And so divine mind starts giving us input. It starts providing us. If we're open and receptive, it starts providing us with ideas. And then obviously we then have that, a specific idea of the specific table that we want, and hopefully we manifest that table. Now that's not a table you would have thought of, is it? Exactly. So understanding that we have that infinite field of potential and possibility, and we have the ability from a metaphysical point of view to manifest and create whatever we want to create. It is up to us. What I'm suggesting that often is sometimes left out of the equation is I also feel that you need to get the feeling. So when you think about those tables that you were talking about, I'm going to hit Lorraine from Melbourne up. When you're thinking about eight people sitting around the table, you're not thinking about the table. You're thinking about the function of the table. You're getting the feeling of what that table is going to bring you when, next time I come to Melbourne, I get invited to dinner. See what I did there, folks? Yeah, so the round table, yeah, absolutely. Having a round table often makes more interaction as far as that's concerned. Yeah. What else? Who else was thinking about what other, what is it, what do you feel when you think about the table that you brought up, that you thought about? What sort of feelings went through that process? James, what did you think about when you thought about a dinosaur table? Was that fun? Did you get excited? You know, went, ooh, I could have a dinosaur table. Is that what you thought? Just go, yeah. He doesn't have to talk. Yeah, you can see from his smile on his face, he's thinking about dinosaurs. Family, yeah. Margaret's thinking about family. A kitchen table or a dining table is about family. Noel's thinking about money and his investment properties because he's thinking about a mathematical table. Formulas, he's thinking about formulas. I don't know anything about formulas. Don't know what this is about, Noel. I've got to go and see Uncle Noel. So it's about understanding that feelings are also an important part of that manifestation process. So from the infinite field of potential and possibility, we have the unformed into the formed, and we have the infinite into the finite, and that's all we're doing. But as I say, I'm suggesting that you throw into the mix the feelings of what it is that you want to manifest. So when you're going through that manifestation process, that you make a decision. Now, we know that the word word was originally from the Greek Greek word logos. And what was really interesting is that when logos was put in there, it was translated as the word word, but with a capital W. It was made an important word. And so what I've done is that sort of to give you an understanding of how we metaphysically reinterpret, or the way we metaphysically adapt or look at scriptural texts, but with a metaphysician's lens, or some from a metaphysical point of view, I thought I'd show you. Oh, sorry, this is what I'm saying. This essentially is the law of expression. Yep, quick. Somebody's taking photos of the slides. This is the law of expression, what I call it, what is called the law of expression. I mean, everybody calls it the law of expression. I didn't come up with this idea. I just found out about this and then have learned how to start using it more and more each day. So then if we revisit John 1, this is what we do is we replace the word and God. If we replace word and God with idea and mind, then suddenly, for me, this piece of scripture makes much more sense. So, in the beginning was the idea, and the idea was with mind, and the idea was mind. That infinite field of potential and possibility is mind, capital M mind, divine ideas, divine consciousness, whatever you want to call it. The idea was in the beginning with mind. All things came into being through the idea. And without the idea, not one thing came into being. So you can't create anything without an idea. So where do you get the idea from? Well, you get it from that infinite field of potential and possibility, from that divine mind, that divine consciousness. But you also need to infuse that creative process. This is where, you know, the law of attraction, which everybody on the planet seems, you know, talks about, and they all talk about the law of attraction, and they all talk about the things you have to do for the law of attraction. And one area that seems to be overlooked quite a bit is the law of attraction with feeling. Doing whatever it is you want to attract, whatever you want to create, whatever you want to build, you have to have the feeling involved in it, and you have to be consciously aware of what feelings you are creating, to make sure that you are in alignment with the words that you are speaking, thinking, and saying. You need to align it all together because that's when it becomes more powerful. That's when it becomes more creative. That's when it works more efficiently, more quickly, and more easily. So I want to take that idea of the feelings and the thoughts and feelings into a short meditation. So I just want you guys to get yourselves comfortable. And what I want you to do is I want you to think along the feelings. Think about something that you have been thinking about or talking about, and that you want to look at potentially manifesting or creating. And I want you to think about the feelings that you are having in that regard. So as we go into a time of silence, a time of reflective contemplation, and as metaphysicians, we know that we have the ability to change our thoughts, change our minds, but we also have the ability to change our feelings. We have to acknowledge the feelings that we're having. However, we get to choose whether we act or react from those feelings. And as we know, our feelings are just an expression of divine love, which is in and through and as us. And as we think of the law of expression, we contemplate where we need to look at, change, understand, evolve our thoughts and our feelings. And we do that by connecting in the silence. Living, loving spirit, we thank you for the time together, the time to reflect and understand how we as spiritual beings can utilize the tools made available to us. And that through utilizing those tools and this understanding, we create a better world for ourselves, for our communities, our families. And the world as we know it. And for that, we are truly grateful.